Imagine having the life of your dreams. Not temporary cash and glory, but happiness and inner peace. Explore new ways to be a creator and take your own journey into greatness. Is it possible? What does it take to make that happen? It takes the person known for extreme results. He's called the Cage Breaker and the Ultimate Catalyst. Coming back from the brink of death and now crushing it for himself and his clients, this is Your Ultimate Life Podcast with Kellen Flukiger.
Today's episode is about something that probably everyone has done some of, and I call that yard work. Now, if you've only lived in an apartment or in a condo, maybe you haven't done any yard work. I don't know. Or maybe you did some for your family member or whatever. I've always lived in sort of a suburban area. I was born in San Francisco, and my first very few years, 3 years, I think, were in an apartment. And I remember just a tiny bit about it. I remember some images about a rooftop, not garden, but a rooftop sitting area that there was, and a couple of pictures vaguely from in my mind from inside the apartment. But when I was not quite four, we moved out to a suburban house outside of San Francisco in a little town called Pleasant Hill. And I lived there until I went away to college, so from 3 to 17 for 14 years. And during that time, I did an awful lot of yard work, which in my case was mowing lawns, weeding flower beds, and, you know, edging the lawn and all that sort of thing. Yard work has been a continuing theme for anyone that wants to keep a, quote, suburban house. And that may be sort of a very American thing, but it's true up here in Canada as well. Every house I've had up here, I've had some yard work also to do because, I don't know, for some reason I thought I needed a house that had a yard. So why am I doing a podcast on yard work? Everybody knows what it is and everybody has done some. Well, here's why. I'm using yard work as a metaphor. Yard work is that stuff you have to do to keep your surrounding and your circumstance in shape so it doesn't become a detriment or a drag. So, for example, there was a period here when Joy and I lived in Phoenix in 2014 and 15, that I didn't keep the yard up very well. I didn't mow the lawn, and it got long in the front, and I got a warning letter from the HOA and stuff like that. And so yard work became a big burden, and there we had quite a bit. We had a number of trees that were fast-growing trees, and so I had to keep trees trimmed and yard done and bushes trimmed and everything else, and I got behind on it, and I didn't like it, and I didn't do it. So let's talk about yard work, and there's three pieces that I want to talk about. One is that I never liked the yard work, and why was that? And if I didn't like it, why in the world did I keep buying houses with yards? And also, we're going to use it as a metaphor for things that we do or don't keep up in life as it relates to creating your ultimate life of purpose and joy. And you will have your own story about yard work, I'm sure. The second piece is, why is yard work important? What is it that yard work signifies, whether it means actually mowing the lawn or other things in your life? And the third piece is, what is your yard work attitude? And again, I'm using yard work in the most expansive sense. In fact, I redefined yard work and I used it to be housekeeping, because when I lived alone for many years, yard work wasn't only outside, it was inside. It was dishes, vacuuming, cleaning, all the kinds of things that go with regular sort of life, you know, laundry and everything else. And you can have different attitudes about it. You can hate it and try to cram it in. You can take pride in it and everything else. And how you do your housekeeping or yard work says a lot about how you're creating your ultimate life. And you might think I'm crazy, but let's dive in and we'll see. So I never liked yard work. And I think it was because from my very earliest memory, I was required. I was forced, as it were, to do yard work. I had outside chores. Now, for the most part, they were consistent with my age. I wasn't required to trim tall bushes when I was a very young child or anything like that. But I always had yard work to do, and that was part of my chores. And don't get me wrong, I'm not opposed to kids having chores. They ought to. We all ought to learn how to work and learn how to do a good job if we want to be successful. But I don't know, for some reason, I didn't like the yard work. And I felt like it was unpleasant, it took too long, and I especially hated it when I had to weed the flower beds. That seemed to take forever. The lawn mowing I actually got pretty good at, and for a couple of years we had a power mower, but most of the time, my growing up years, I had a push mower, and I'm not sure why my dad thought push mowers were better than power mowers. Maybe there was a lesson there that I never understood or learned, but anyway, I didn't like it, and I felt forced to do it, and I felt like it took too much time, and it wasn't right, or I don't know. So I had a negative feeling about it. Later, now this is interesting, later as I got older, I actually enjoyed the yard work, and more than enjoying the yard work, I enjoyed the outcome of the yard work. Now, remember, yard work is a metaphor for all those housekeeping things that keep our lives in order. So, for example, today, my yard work is a little bit outside, but I have inside, I do my own laundry, I do dishes, I take care of those kinds of things, and it all has to do with keeping our lives cleaned up and organized. Here's what I've discovered. I've lived my life as a mess-haver, a person living in mess, and not keeping things cleaned up. And I've lived my life in a fairly orderly fashion. Now, I've never been one of those ridiculously fastidious people that's got to have it all organized. One of my sons is that way, and his sock drawer looks like you can't even imagine, right? I've never been like that, never on the scale of 1 to anything. 1 to 100, I've gone from 1 to maybe 70, but I've never explored the territory from 70 to 100. In terms of neatness. But I've lived in the one area where I just didn't have time to do it and I didn't want to do it and it was negative. And I've also lived in a neat area up to about 70 or 75. I can tell you this, when I chose to live in the area of neatness, when I chose to keep my yard, my house, and my surroundings neat and orderly, I was happier. I did better at work. I did better in everything that I did. I wonder why that is. Now, I've heard it said the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. And so if that's true, then if I'm a mess on the outside, it means I'm a mess on the inside. And as I look back at my life, that was really true. Because the time when I had the least ordered life and the most struggle with my depression and addictions and problems is almost a one-to-one correlation with when I was messy on the outside. I was messy on the inside. And so that's a really important correlation if I think about creating my ultimate life. Because my ultimate life isn't one of messiness and haphazard. It is one of joy. And joy I couldn't find very well when things were messy. Because messy didn't feel good. And that's what I've discovered about it. So let's talk a little bit more specifically about the outcomes. What I discovered about outcomes is this, that it's important to choose what kind of a impression you're trying to create. Now, I don't mean running around trying to impress other people, like, okay, I have to look good, my yard has to look good so I can impress the neighbors. Forget that. I'm talking about how do I want my external circumstances to represent my life. If I live so that everything on the outside, I am rumpled, my house is not in order, my yard is not in order, am I truly representing who I want to be? Because my notice was that there was a direct correlation between my inside environment and my outside environment. And when I kept my outside clean, I was a lot more likely to keep my inside clean. And when I kept my inside clean, I was a lot more likely to keep my outside clean. It seems like there was a big correlation. My point here in this particular part is to make it really clear that it's a choice. Because the saying, the way you do one thing is the way you do everything, is true. Now, I used to really argue with that. I used to say, well, I put a lot more effort in when I'm at work and I need to do it right to get paid and everything. And when things are, you know, outside there, I can just be slack and let it go. I discovered that that was a falsehood. And here's why, because I've heard lots of people say that. What I ended up doing when I was doing it at work and, quote, doing better, is I ended up just doing the minimum to get by and feeling a sense of resentment. Okay, all right, I'll do it. I procrastinated it. I did it at the last minute, and I did it well enough, but just well enough to get by, and then hoped that it was okay. When I changed my attitude about how I was doing my, quote, yard work, then I felt a sense of pride in a job well done. Now, I don't mean pride in the sense that I'm getting all kinds of accolades from others saying, okay, you're cool, Kellen. I meant how I felt about myself, internally and externally, and how I felt about my life. So my discovery is that there is a complete correlation between how you do your yard work and how you live your life. So if you want to have the ultimate life of purpose, prosperity, and joy, then you need to make the choice about how you're going to do your incidentals, your housekeeping, your yard work. Now, if you don't have a green thumb and you don't want to do yard work, then, you know, live in a place where there isn't a lot or hire someone to get it done. That's not my point. My point isn't that you need to go push a lawnmower or mop the floors. My point is the effort that it takes to keep yourself orderly and organized is well paid off or well paid back in your creativity and how you feel, your ability to love and create good in the world. Because a disorderly heart and a disorderly house and mind all go hand in hand. When I was disorderly, it was almost always a reflection of dissatisfaction in my heart, dissatisfaction with who I was being in the world and how I was showing up. My point here is really simple. Rather than fighting the idea that the way you do one thing is the way you do everything, why don't you just go with that and understand that the attitude that I had or that I have or that you have permeates your life. If it's just enough to get by, I hope no one lifts up the rug or whatever, then where else is that showing up in your life? When I really took an honest look, I found out that it was the same everywhere. I was just barely getting by in all areas. When I decided to change that, and that's all it was a decision, then I started to produce much more fruitful outcomes in work, as represented by money. I produced more happiness in my heart, as represented by how I felt every day, and I didn't have anything to hide or to worry about if someone saw or found out. I didn't have to be ashamed or think, oh, I hope they don't see, you know, thus and such, or I hope they don't hear about this and that. And that was sometimes in small areas, but sometimes in really serious areas. When I was struggling with depression and I had, you know, addiction and other problems, and I had all kinds of stuff to hide, and it was reflected in every area of life, even though I put on a wonderful facade, the cost of the facade was internal misery. And since we're all about creating the ultimate life, which is a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy by serving others with your divine gifts, you can easily see that that was opposite. The cost, the energy required to put on the facade, drained life of all of its joy. So I was certainly not living in purpose, prosperity, and joy. So here's the challenge for you. As you think about your yard work or housework or daily chores or whatever you want to call it, what's your attitude about that sort of thing? Do you find that those things that you, quote, have to do you find them unpleasant and frustrating? I can't wait to hurry up and get this done. Here's the challenge. What if for a week you said, all right, I am going to choose because I can, not because I have to, and you don't have to. But here's your challenge. I'm going to choose that every single thing, without exception, that I put my mind to, I'm going to enjoy it fully. So that means if you're a guy and you shave, I'm going to shave. I'm going to get all in and do a really good job and enjoy it. Or if you're a woman and maybe you shave too, whatever it is, whatever you choose to do, do it all in. Don't resent any of it. Don't try to hurry up and get through just so you can finish. I want you to explore how that feels to be fully engaged with everything that you do. If you have a small conversation with someone setting up an appointment to get your car fixed, be all in that conversation. Don't look at anything as, ugh, I got this stupid housework to do. And again, I'm using that in the biggest sense, paying bills, doing housework, yard work, dishes, cleaning, anything. Don't view anything that way at all. Play the game with me here for a week and take this week to go through everything that you do with a full attitude of, I'm all in with this thing. I'm going to fully enjoy it because, after all, I've chosen to do it. I've chosen to give my time and attention to this thing, whether it's 1 minute or an hour or a whole day. I choose to give it my full attention, my full love, and my full talent to do it the very best that I can do. That's a challenge for you. I'd love to hear from you about what that does. Now, you can get a hold of me on Facebook, friend me on Facebook. You can go to my website and communicate with me there. But I'd love, or comments on this podcast, or go to the YouTube channel, which is a little bit different. It is Ultimate Life Formula instead of Your Ultimate Life, which is the name of the podcast. So the YouTube channel is a little different. But I'd love to hear your experience with this experiment. One, I want to know if you take the challenge. And then two, I'd like to know what you find out as you create your ultimate life. Open your heart
and this time around. Thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope that you take it deeply into your heart and decide for yourself how you can create anything you desire. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends. As always, we'd love to hear your feedback and topic suggestions. Until tomorrow, this is Your Ultimate Life with host Kellen Flukiger. Stand with your heart.